So I get the rare opportunity of teaching something that's going to be a total game changer for you. We are running into a lot of disease. We are running into a lot of chaos. We are running into a lot of storms in people's lives like never before in ministry. And throughout ministry, we've prayed for hundreds of people, but never have we seen it in clusters like this. And this is why God is having me teach this message. Pastor and I, we did take some time off. We hadn't done it in years, and we needed to take some time off. We fellowshipped so powerfully. People, it was basically for me, like a continual Bible study. And we talked about a lot of things, and we both realized that there's a misunderstanding in the body of Christ for sure, but even in our church, of what real faith is and what head faith is. And you're going to see the difference. I'm going to make sure that you see it crystal clear. The only thing that works with God is real heart faith. And I'm going to talk about what mind or mental faith is. And basically what it is that you agree that God is God, that God exists. If I were to ask any of you in this room, do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, of course I do. But honestly, people, our everyday lives are proving whether we believe that or not. We may agree with it, but it's a whole other story when it's in your heart and you live it. One is to agree and one is to live. And the time is coming, people, where we need to absolutely take our place with God in our homes, in our families. Amen. So I spent a total of probably, I would say 9.5 months minimally, 9.5 months laying on a sofa, doing my best not to die. The entire day was filled with me praying in the spirit. God gave me an assignment of praying in the spirit for 5 hours. I was fighting for my life. And I started experiencing some horrible symptoms. This happened back in 1983. I started experiencing symptoms, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, should I go to the doctor? I mean, it came sudden like that. And I'll tell you, like a week before the symptoms hit, like almost all at one time, my hair was falling off, I was hemorrhaging, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, my hair was falling off in clumps. Very alarming, and not to mention how I felt inside. And so I asked the Lord, Lord, should I go to the doctor? And he said, you won't be able to handle what they tell you, because he knew I was all mental. I had not understood that there's a complete world of difference. And so he said, but if you can trust me, Eva, I will bring you through this. And of course I trusted him because I'm here. And God brought me through it. It took a year. The first 6 months was hell on earth for me, because I was afraid 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I didn't know if I was going to die the next moment. I did every night when I went to sleep of those 9.5 months, I would say, Lord, thank you for giving me this day. Father, I'm begging you to wake me up tomorrow morning. Every day I had to believe God. And it took me 6 months to understand, finally, after living in the Word, praying in the Spirit for 5 hours a day. I mean, I was consumed in the Word. I was consumed in books, seeking answers, trying not to die. 6 months later, I began to understand that everything I thought was wrong. God was punishing me. What did I do, Lord? Please tell me. I'll repent. I'll change my heart. I'll change my life. I'll never do it again. Whatever it is that's brought me here, please show me. God was silent. This was my battle. And one day, you will be in your battle. I'm talking about a battle of life or death. One thing is to get healed. One thing is to go through an operation, you know, and God brings you through. Another is to be completely healed by the hand of God. And so those 6 first months, I was in sheer terror. And then all of a sudden, people, all of a sudden, things started to click. Things started to make sense. I started to understand the mind of God and the heart of God. And I ran into the most beautiful, precious, loving God in all of existence. So can an usher or somebody help these people? And I'm sorry. And so after the 6 months of sheer terror, I started to climb out of the pit on my own, on my own. And then one day, 6 months later, we're visiting Bill's mom. And, you know, honestly, I'm not even kidding you. It took me an entire day to eat half a bowl of cereal because I couldn't get anything in my stomach. And by the time I was eating breakfast, a decent breakfast, you know, it was still cereal at Bill's mom's house. And I felt like the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and he said, Eva, where are the symptoms? And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I stood up. Andy was on my lap. I stood up. I couldn't say anything because people would have thought I was crazy. His mom and, you know, they're pretty, they were pretty intense people. And so I just stood up and I said, God, oh my God. And I had not felt the symptoms for about a month, and I was completely healed. So I love you, and I don't want you to go through that, because you may have experienced alarming news and you came through it and all that, but there will come a time, people, where it'll be a very critical moment for you, and you need to know that you know what you know in here, not in here. You know, and I'm telling you, our lives reflected so much. You may say, oh no, I've got faith to move mountains. Oh no, I know God. Oh no, I spend time with him. You know how many times I hear people say, I'm in the Word, Eva. I pray. And yes, I know God. And yes, I know all these things. But their lives are falling apart. So we need to get a hold of God and who he is now. Amen? So this is what this is about. Let's see if I can do this. Head versus heart faith. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find faith in you? Mary, is he going to find faith in you? Mona, is he going to find faith in you? Gilbert, is he going to find faith in you? And remember, it's different. What's up here to what's in here. What's in here is actually driving your life. But if what's in here is this much and what's in here is this much, guess what's going to win? You're going to be a very mental Christian. Amen? So the challenge has been posed by the Lord. This is very serious, people. You don't understand how serious this thing that he threw in there in the midst of what he was talking about when he said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Is he going to find faith in you? I pray he does for your sake. Amen? A lesson far too often not learned. Our time on the earth is finite, whether through our transition into the next life or the rapture. God sees our time on the earth as but a mere breath. That's what he calls it. He says your time right now, as you are alive from the moment you're born, you could live to be 115. And it's still a breath. It's like you took one breath and now you're gone. He says our lives are like the grass. One day it's green, the next day it withers. It goes away fast. How many of you can say our lives are going fast? Yes. If you're a little delusional here, if you think, oh no, it's a long hot summer, I can take forever. No, we're wrapping things up. So spiritually, in the scheme of things, developing faith should be the greatest preoccupation of our incredibly short lives. Faith. You can't get born again without it. You can't get healed without it. You can't walk with God without it. You can't make it to heaven without it. Faith is everything. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You You all look so scared. Today, the Lord is doing all he can to reach us, to help us, and to prepare us. He loves you. He already died for you. He can't prove his love any more than that. Amen? But the body of Christ is mostly hiding, distracted, sleeping, overwhelmed, and afraid. I have my finger on the pulse of the body of Christ around the world. I keep abreast of things. And honestly, people, it's a little bit shameful, but third world countries are the ones that are really on fire. They're the ones that are giving their lives for Christ. If you had to give your life for Christ today, could you? Would you? Honestly, people, that's what it's costing our brothers and sisters. Amen? I heard a scathing report by this one guy. And, oh my God, it was really heartbreaking what he said. I don't have the courage to share some of it with you because, but what he said was, you know, here are these Americans, you know, lazy, Christian, American Christians. He said, they're lazy, they're overfed. He goes, and people are not preparing for what's coming and for the Lord. But I'm cutting it short. It would make a lot more sense if I told you everything he said, but I don't know. Faith, if anyone would know, it is Christ who knows that the only connection we have to God and the entire spiritual realm is our faith. Real faith of the heart. Your crying, your dire circumstances, your evil report, your maid asking for a divorce, your kids hating you, our desperation, none of it will reach God but faith. Please understand me. We've seen people make a big show and cry and weep and, God, I really need you, and nothing happened. Why? Because God cannot be moved by our emotions. He cannot be moved by what we're going through. He is here to help us with what we're going through. He is faithful, people. But no, I'm serious, people. You don't even know how many tears I shed. Oh, God, heal our marriage. Oh, God, bring us as a family. Oh, God, please heal my body. Nothing ever changed. I started speaking in faith and everything changed. My husband and I, we both changed. Plug into your true power source. The Bible. The Bible. If I were to ask you guys to quote maybe 5, 10 scriptures that have molded your life, could you give me chapter and verse? Could you quote it completely? That's your power source. That's where you're supposed to get your power. Not from great teaching, not even from me. The only thing that's going to give you any power this morning is the scriptures I'm going to read to you. Oh, I listen to this minister, and oh, I listen to this minister, and I have like 10 ministers that I listen to. The power source is the Word of God. Now, if they are preaching the Word of God in strength and purity, then you're plugged in. But there's not a whole lot of churches right now that are doing that. So when we're plugged in to the Word of God, look at the cord, then faith is released. We can run. If I plug in into the wall, the toaster, it's going to work. It's going to run, the refrigerator and so on. If I plug myself into the Word of God, then my life is going to run supernaturally. It's going to run with the power of God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So the socket is God and His Word. The plug is me. And the cord is the channel for my faith to be released. You need the Word to get the power. Honestly, people, what if an emergency happened and you can't get a hold of us? We can't be the source of your power always. Now, till the day I leave this earth, I'm going to be here for you. I love praying for you. I watch over you. I will give you the word. I've got a book that's on healing. And it's a really good book, this one that I've absolutely put together finally. I'm always going to pray for you. Pastor and I will never, ever turn you away, nor will we say, where was their faith? Are you kidding me? If you're smart, you'll get in agreement with your pastors. There's nothing wrong with prayer. There's nothing wrong with you coming up here. And I want to make that clear. I don't want you to think that, oh, gosh, you know, she's teaching on that, so I can't go to them anymore. Never. Don't let the devil swing you to the other extreme now. Amen? But understand that if we cannot be there for you at that critical moment, plug yourself into the Word. We have phones now. The Word on nights when I cannot sleep, people, I have found the perfect sedative. I turn on the Word, and before I know it, I'm snoring. I mean snoring. Turn on the Word gently in the background, and you will fall right to sleep. Plug yourself into the Word and let the faith flow. That's how it works. It's very simple. Children are doing miracles right now. Little kids, teenagers are preaching like crazy right now on online media. Now, if I don't plug in, look at that little, what is it called? The plug. If I don't plug in the plug, is any power going to come through? Who has to put in the plug? Who has to plug into the Word? Me. Yes. So it's that simple. God is forever present. God will never leave you nor forsake you. We have an average of 8 Bibles in every household in the United States. You have your Word. Plug into it. But don't just plug into it mindlessly. Read. This is what we keep running into. I read the Word. I know the Word. And people get frustrated. We ask, have you been in the Word? I am in the Word. I know the Word. I pray. Then what's going on here? Because if I plugged in something right now into the socket that's right there, I would absolutely expect it to work. Why aren't we expecting our faith to work? We're there now, people. We're there. And it's that simple. I have the Word. I have God. I'm going to plug in. And the source, the power source, is going to flow. It's going to help me run my life. It's going to help me get over this disease. It's going to help me bring my family together. Oh, so long ago, God taught me how to pray for my family. You can't have my marriage. You can't have my children. You can't have my grandchildren. I now pray for my body that way. Satan, you can't have my brain. You can't have my liver. You can't have whatever is ailing. You can't have it. Don't just give everything up to the devil. No, you have power. Say, I have power.
I have power.
You have power. All you have to do is connect yourself to the power source, but believe. Start believing what you read. Isaiah 55:11. This is God. Oh, so shall my word be. What are we talking about plugging into?
The Word.
Say it like you mean it.
The Word.
You guys all look so scared. Come on, swords. We are a church, right? God is here. We're family. Amen. We're going to be okay. It's taken us a while. That pandemic really knocked us off our feet, you know, but we're here. We're in the house of God. It's a good thing. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. That means empty, empty and useless. It shall not return to me empty, void, but it shall accomplish what I please. Whatever my word says, I will accomplish it. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. If this is true, if this is true, what can we not believe God for? If you find it in the Word, Pastor preached a message. I have basically memorized it. I'm trying to get a lot of people to listen to it again. He preached it on April 27th of this year. And it's about healing and faith. And he literally said that faith is for the purpose of receiving the promises of God. That's what your faith is for.
Amen.
It's the way to receive healing, restoration, strength, to drive out the devil from your home, from your mind, being fearful. Do you know, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So whatever God's word says, he is sending it, it will come to pass. But Pastor Eva, it hasn't for me. It's because you are still up here. We got to get you down here. I'm going to show you how. We got to get the word down in our hearts where it's alive. I will tell you that faith in your heart will align your entire life. When you get faith in your heart, you can't play games with God. You can't play the church. You become the church. You walk with God. God is right there. Like you just turn, the second you even mention him, he's right there. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Is my faith such that it is connecting me to God at all times? At all times. I don't have to hope that Bill and I are connected. I don't have to hope that we are married. We are connected. He's ever present in my life. I don't know if he's happy about me being ever present in his life, but we are ever present, connected. I don't question, am I connected to Bill? Is Bill going to be around? What's going to happen? No, I know my husband. He's a covenant man. He's here till the end. I remember one day I told him, I said, Bill, I think we're going to make it. This was not too long ago either. I said, Bill, I think we're going to make it. I think we're going to last till the end. And he, without thinking twice, this is my husband. He'll say one romantic thing a year, and it makes me swoon for the rest of the year. And all he turned around like a whip, and he looked at me, and he goes, that's all I've ever wanted. When he married me, when we were dating, he was 21, I was 24, and he told me, he said, I want you forever, for life. He already knew this was it for him. It took me a little while. But so the same thing with God. God, are you there? I know I haven't been in the Word lately. I know I've been very distracted lately. Oh God, I haven't prayed 5 hours in the Spirit, but are you there? Real faith keeps you connected 24/7. God is not someone that you run to only when you have problems. God lives with you. He lives in your words. He lives in your thoughts. He lives in your heart. That's what God wants. Amen? Just like I want real connection. I used to tell Bill about this. Bill, a woman, and women, whether you agree with this or not, a woman, men, want connection. They need connection. It brings a lot of security, a lot of safety, a lot of peace to a woman when she knows you're connected to her. The minute you're not connected to her, she's going to know. Instantly, without you saying a word. Sometimes our men get overwhelmed. Sometimes our men are fighting the good fight. Sometimes our men just are trying day by day to make it. We got to be patient, ladies. But honestly, men, connection is everything. The same with God. God knows when we're not connected to him. God knows when we're just walking, you know, yeah, hallelujah, I'm a born-again Christian. And you know what, guys? Please believe me. I'm being very nice right now. I know it's a little bit hard to hear, but you have no idea what I'm hearing. I have like 10 links that I could play for you right now that would blow you away at what other ministers are saying about the body of Christ. Amen? This is about real connection. Is my faith such that it is connecting me to God at all times? An emergency happens, somebody calls you, oh my God, Aunt Chuchi is sick in the hospital. Are you going to, oh God, okay, what do we do? What do we do? Who do we call? Or are you, God, I pray right now and you connect. You connect. A person that has faith in their heart is always going to be a person of peace. Real faith will do that. I will talk about this over and over. There are manifestations of faith. Pastor and I, oh my God, people, it's been alarming. Sometimes people will come up for prayer and I'll grab their hands and I'll start to pray for them and there's no faith at all. At all, no faith. And at that moment, I have to say, Lord, out of mercy, I'm going to try to carry this. And I have, and I do, and God still moves. But it is alarming when you come up for prayer or you come up to for whatever, and we have no faith to work with. Faith is your only connection to God. Say this with me. Faith is my only connection to God. Absolutely. Don't ever think you can impress him with, Lord, I have been praying for this for 15 years, and I know you hear me, and I know this time it's going to happen. No. If you listen to what I'm going to teach you, you're going to become like the centurion. My husband is like the centurion. This guy is incredible. It's hard to live with him sometimes because he is the real thing. He speaks. He doesn't pray for healing. He doesn't beg for healing. And he's had alarming things happen in his body. He speaks like the centurion with authority and total expectation. Amen? Praise God. But then I also see him militant about him in the word. I can't tell you the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times I walk in to say something to him and he's reading his word. Now he's got it on his phone. Before it was like 10 books that he would read out of. They'd be spread out everywhere. But he's diligent to pray. I hear him praying in the spirit. He's diligent to read his scriptures. You know, part of it is because he is a pastor and we all, so do I. We have to be ready for the people. That's our charge. But a lot of it is who he is with God. That's why God loves him. It's because this guy puts the word first place. What were you saying, babe? Oh, I think he's praying. Maybe for me. So is my faith such that it is connecting me to God at all times? Am I truly living a life of faith? A life of faith. Not a life of emergencies and God keeps pulling through for me, praise God. A life of faith. I'm telling you, faith is going to order your entire life. The way you think, the way you speak, your faith with God, your relationship with God, it's going to change a lot. And it should, amen? You know, I had someone tell me, a pastor and I were praying for someone that got COVID and had cancer at the same time. They were dying. And we didn't know about it. And finally the wife and one of the kids called us. And we ministered to them for a long time. We love ministering to people first before we get the word. Because a lot of times we can see that you need it. You need the word before we pray for you. And this person, after we were done praying and we bound everything, and this person is now traveling all over the world and doing their thing and so on. But we prayed for them. And I remember the young lady said, you know, I think you and Bill have the gift of faith. She said, because I've never seen anybody get results like you and he does. And I wanted to speak up, but I didn't. It's like, no. No, there is no gift of faith. It's just faith. We believe. We believe. That's all we have going for us, is we believe. We are not gifted with a healing ministry. We're not gifted with special preaching anointing. We believe. That's what we have going for ourselves. Don't ever think, oh, that's Pastor Bill and Eva, and, you know, they're called, and they know the word, and God works with them. No. We are like you. There is no difference between you and us. The only difference is that we took the time to believe, to build our house on the rock. And that's what I'm going to help you. Amen? Amen. If this teaching bothers you, if this teaching is like, oh, whatever, this is so boring, whatever, you need to get born again today. We need to get you started on the right foot. Amen? Because this kind of teaching should inspire any believer. Oh my God, I want that. I want that 100% of the time. Praise God. It's time to live our Christianity as Christ commands. As Christ commands. John 12, 14. Is it 14? John, maybe 14, 12. Something like that. Talk about the right, quoting the right scripture. In John 14, 12, Jesus said, "He who believes in me." How many of you believe in him? Can I see your hand, please? Okay. "He who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also." That's all you need to be doing the works of Christ, is to believe in him. "He who believes in me will do the works that I do, and greater works shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it." That's what Christ commanded us to do. To do his works, people. Who's going to carry out the work that he started? You. You. It may start small. It may start with yourself alone, praying for yourself, getting in the word for yourself. That's okay. Start branching out. How much do you pray for your family, for your extended family, for your kids that have moved away, for your friends? How much do you intercede and pray until they come to the Lord? Pastor and I, when we got born again, we thought it was the greatest thing that ever happened to us, because it was. We started underground Bible studies. My mom threatened to kick me out. She said, "If you cannot bring your Bible and your stuff here in this house, we are Catholics." And literally, they kicked me out of the house for that. I had to go live with my brother. So every time my mom would go on Saturdays shopping, we'd sneak into the house and get our little brothers and sisters born again. We got them all born again. And then it extended and it extended and it extended. When it is real to you, you got to share it with people. Amen? Amen? Time to push into the kingdom of God through faith, hope, and love. That's how the kingdom of God operates, people. If you're really of God, you need to know that you need faith, you need hope, and you need love. How is your hope these days? Your hope is a joyful expectation of good. How full of hope are you? "Well, you know, I did have hope, but then this happened." No, see, these are laws. Our worlds bow to those laws. Our chaos and our little dramas bow to faith, hope, and love. So this is where we're going to start. If you've already done this, good for you. Dusting off my faith is an expression. It's an actual expression that ministers have come up with in this day and hour. We got to dust off our faith. It's an expression suggesting a desire to revive a spiritual life that has become dormant or neglected over time. Have you neglected your walk? Is it a little dormant? Is it a little asleep right now? "Well, you don't understand, Pastor Eva. I don't even have time to breathe. I have so much to do." That's exactly why you need faith. It's going to order your life back into peace, and things are going to work a lot easier for you. Amen? Amen? So it implies a renewed commitment to spiritual practices like prayer and scripturally alive sermons. You need the word. You need strong word. Seeking a deeper connection with God. You may be close to God. You may be really walking with God now in a good little pace. Desire to get deeper. Want more. In this world, we want more, we want more, we want more, we want better, we want this, we want that. Why don't we do that with God? God, I'm close to you, I love you, but I want more. I want more of you, Father. I want more of you. And shedding past weariness or the dust of indifference to embrace faith anew. Right now, there's a huge blanket of indifference. Whatever, I'm tilting. The world's coming to an end. The moon's going to turn red tonight. I don't know if you know that, the blood moons, and it's supposed to mean something really woo. And, you know, but yeah, there's a lot of, we're tilting right now as the body of Christ. You know, the Green Berets, Special Forces, Navy SEALs, do you know what they look for? They look for the call when they get to go and do what they know to do. They actually start to perish in times of peace. They come alive when they got a duty, when they carry it out. That's how we should be. And right now we're like, no, it's too much. I just heard that, you know, there's another pandemic coming. No, no, no. The dust represents the accumulation of worldly concerns. You ought to have no concerns. You are not supposed to be concerned about your life because you have a life of prayer. Father, I have this problem. They're trying to fire me at work, but that's not going to happen. Satan, you can't have my job. So right now, Father, I turn this over to you. And you begin to turn everything over to God. Father, I have kids that don't want to follow you. They don't really care about God. I don't know what happened, but their Christianity is kind of lukewarm. I need your help. I turn that over to God. We should not be having concerns. You were not built to carry burdens. Burdens will absolutely make you sick. One of the quickest things that burdens brings is cancer. Cancer. When you're carrying too much, you start to use up your life force. Trying to hold, it's like someone swimming in an ocean with a storm raging. You're swimming, you're going to get weary, you're going to get tired, your body's going to give out. You were not meant to carry burdens. We are to cast our burdens, like Peter says, on him because he cares for us. Amen. So the dust represents the accumulation of worldly concerns and loves. God will never compete with your loves. None of it. None of it. Oh, but it's not wrong for me to love my kids. Yes, but not more than God. But it's right for me to love my husband. Yes, but not more than God. Well, God wants me to appreciate my house. Yes, but not more than God. Either God is God or he is not. Amen? There should be nothing that we love greater, people. Nothing. Oh, my God, this man. Ooh, I'm telling you, it's very hard to live with Bill. One day I told him, I said, Bill, I was so connected to him, and I was having a good moment with him. I said, baby, I adore you. And he turned around and he goes, don't say that word. He said, don't ever say you adore me. Only adore the Lord. I'm not worthy of that place, Eva. I'm not God. Only adore God in your life. And he was right. There should be nothing and no one that I love more than God. And God, Jesus himself said, anybody who gives up mother, father, sister, brothers, land, property, kids, whatever, for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold in this lifetime. We gave it all up. And we have one of the rarest families you'll ever imagine. Our relationship is like so supernatural. We, you know, God healed everything. We have hurt each other a lot. When we were young, we didn't know anything except total toxic relationship connections. That's all we both of us knew. Man, I'm telling you, the way God does it, it is just incredibly sweet and precious. We're looking forward to an eternity together. It's only God can do that, people. But we put him first, and gave him everything else. So concerns and loves, apathy, wake up, wake up. Care, start caring again. Care about your walk. Care about your love for God. Care about your prayer life. Father, I care. I care about you, Father. Doesn't that sound beautiful? I got a job to do. Pastor, we need a weeder whacker, or whatever you call it. Take out all the weeds, man. You're like this, behind the weeds right now. So concerns and loves and apathy, or spiritual inactivity that can deaden and obscure one's faith. So get active spiritually. Pray 5 minutes. 5 minutes a day. Bind the devil when you free. Open your eyes and say, Satan, I bind you for today in Jesus' name. Amen, Father. And get your day started. Start getting spiritually active. You're not kidding anybody. If I can see that inactivity, can you imagine what God sees? Who sees your heart and your mind? And what the devil sees. Some of you are so pregnant. Pregnant. Your minds are about to give birth. I mean, they're bursting with knowledge and information. But when it's in the heart, dude, it's a river of living water coming out constantly. Very different. Look at this quote. You can never cross the ocean unless you are willing to lose sight of the shore. Get rid of the comfort. Comfort is the number one enemy of American Christians. My house is so comfortable and everything. I have to watch out because everywhere I sit, I have to have a lot of pillows. And I'm like, Eva, are you going after comfort too much? My back is healed. I'm believing God for a miracle here. But we got to get rid of the comfort. You're not going to get to the other side of this walk and be ready for the rapture when Christ returns if you're living in comfort. Comfort and luxury and, oh my God, you know, everything's perfect. Look at what I have. Look at what I own. Get rid of that. That is not going to help you. Let's say you love a sofa, whatever. A sofa that you love, that you just bought. And you love that thing so much. How is that going to help you if an emergency happens in our state even? How is that sofa that you gave so much love and pride and attention? Look at how perfect it is. How is that going to help you if an emergency happens? Nothing should be in your heart but God. I'm sorry to tell you that. But out of that, guess what, people? Once you learn how to love God in your heart, you're going to start learning how to love others the same way. We're kidding ourselves. Without God teaching us how to love, we don't know how to love. But these are my kids. I got to spend time with them, and they're so important. You know, I mean, we're a unit, and I want to keep my family together. Love God, and you will make sure that all of that happens. There will be forgiveness. There will be an erasing of all of our sins. No parent in here is perfect. Not one. Right, Rachel? We try. We try. We do our best. We would give our lives for our kids, really. But until God is in here first, you're loving with your knowledge of love. Why not use the remainder of your life to love perfectly, starting with God? So, if you, you're not going to be able to cross this ocean between you and God right now unless you get rid of everything that is stopping you. Only you know what that is. It could be fear. It could be laziness. It could be comfort. It could be whatever it is. It could be sin. Sin will absolutely pull you away from God. The outcome of a worldly man and a man of faith. Here we go. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus says the Lord, cursed bitterly. This is God speaking. Cursed bitterly is the man who trusts to be confident or sure of in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. When we trust more in man, like ladies, maybe some of you trust your husbands more than you do God. Your husband's been pulling through. He's very faithful. And maybe your trust is in that. Don't put your trust in man, in any man. Oh, I have the best surgeon. I've done my research and I have the best doctor for my surgery. Everything's going to be perfect. His record is outstanding. You're putting your trust in man. Your first words should be, God, you are my surgeon. You are the one that mends me. You stitch me up. You are the one that cures me, Father. Now lead me to the right doctor. That's how it should go. Oh, I have the best tax man. Oh, he does my taxes and he knows it. No, Lord, I turn this over to you. I don't want to get ripped off, but I certainly want to do my part. So show me where to go. Everything, people, everything. We're trusting too much in the arm of man. I take my kids to the best schools, because they're going to be so powerful, because they're going to these acclaimed schools and they're going to become really, really great. You're trusting in the arm of man. Lord, I want my children to be excellent in everything, so show me where they should go. Start putting God first. God is taking his place back. There are some of you in here right now that are like, and then others of you are saying, amen, I need this. Amen? Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. This is how you know a man that's really trusting God. He's yielding spiritual fruit all the time. And he is being blessed by God, not by your hand. You know how many people have said, oh, God has really blessed us. Oh, it was by your hand that you did that. Covenant, you don't have to work to get the blessings from God through covenant. And covenant works when we put God first in our lives. Amen? You will be bearing fruit spiritually every day. Don't let a day go by that you don't bear a spiritual fruit. It may be that you pray for your wife. And all of a sudden you see her being nice and you're like, yes. Amen? Pray. Pray. Carlitos, that was supposed to be funny. He's like, I don't know about that. I'm sorry, I busted you. But look at this beautiful picture, people. That's how we're supposed to look. Or do you want to look, well, I don't know how to do that. Let's see. Ah, I did it. Or do you want to look like this guy? Is this your life? Is it dry? Is it boring? Is it awful? Then let's go this way. Amen? Let's start trusting God. You know, another word for believing in God is trusting in God. Absolutely. Oh, I was going to tell you, thank you, Holy Spirit. There are manifestations that you see in a person that's in faith. They are a person of peace. First and foremost, they are a person of peace. You're not going to see, oh, we got to pray for this person. Oh, my God, this is happening. Oh, my God. Well, yeah, we got to, come on, let's pray, let's pray. That's not peace. You walk in peace. You live in peace. So peace, rest. I got to pray 5 hours in the Spirit so God can hear me. I've got to read at least 4 chapters for God to hear me. That's works. You're not resting. Faith speaks, turns it over, and rests. It's God's problem now. That's what I tell him. Lord, I prayed. This is now your problem. Just peace, rest, joy. Where's your joy? Oh my gato, you have little weights on the sides of your mouth. No. Where is your joy? The Lord is returning. We're afraid. We're not joyful. Oh my God, he's coming. Am I going to make it? Oh my God, I'm trying to help you make it. But where's your joy? So you'll have, what was the first one?
Peace.
Okay, don't. Okay, what was the first one?
Peace.
What was the second one?
Rest.
And what was the third one?
Joy.
Absolutely. You have hope. When you're in faith, you have hope. Oh no, this is going to change. The doctors told me that I have the gibbies jibbies. But I don't care because I have hope. God has it. That means his word doesn't return void. I got this. I got this. Learn to say, I got this.
Yes.
No matter what the doctors tell you, no, I got this. People, you don't even know what we've overcome and what I've learned to do with God that is just absolutely, it works every time. It's remarkable. According to some doctor, I was supposed to be blind like probably 10 years ago, easily. And it's like, you can't have my eyes, Satan. No way. You're a liar and you're a thief, and I bind you. Get out of here. You should have heard me praying on the freeway home from that doctor. He said, you're going blind. You're losing your sight. You're going blind. He was so mad at his nurse, and he took it out on me. And I'm speeding down. Not speeding, no. I was going down the freeway. No, Pastor, you didn't hear that. I was going down the freeway, and I'm praying like this. In the name of Jesus, I was driving safely with one hand, but in the name of Jesus, I will never lose my sight. At the end of the day, what God taught Pastor is this: Satan can't take anything you don't give him. Whatever it is, it could be a kid that's just gone off the rails. Satan can't have them. I've prayed like that for my grandchild. I've prayed like that for my kids. No. No. You can't have them. They belong to God. And then they belong to me. Amen? Oh. Oops. The reward does not come to the one who showed up. To the one who simply followed along. Nor who simply fulfilled an obligation to God. These are the religious, just-in-case type of Christians. They want to appease God, but are not willing to transform or grow. You should not look like you did a week ago. You should not look like when you first got born again. You should be a tree of righteousness bearing fruit like crazy people. Now, look at this. It cuts short, but this guy in the white shirt is trying to wake up someone that's literally asleep in church. That's why he's laughing. And look at all these people. One of them over here in the left corner is on the phone. People are bored. People are like, you know, here, we kind of scare you a little, so you look like you're paying attention, but I wonder. But look at this. Now, this guy, I found him because it reminds me of Pastor Bill. This is how he has always been since the day I met him. Militant about his walk. Laying brick upon brick when no one was around. He doesn't care that anybody sees him. He doesn't make a big deal of it. He's in that room quoting his scriptures, reading his scriptures, getting close to God, talking to God, knowing God. That's how you're supposed to be right now. How does your house look? Do you have maybe two rows of bricks and then you stopped and now there's weeds growing? Have you not started? Are the bricks laying on their side waiting for somebody to use them properly? It's time. It's time to build. The reward goes to the master builder. You've been called to be a master builder. And you know what's funny? You may think, no, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. You're doing it with your life. You're building your own life. You're doing it now. Don't be kidded. I'm talking about your spiritual life now. The reward goes to the master builder who, through wisdom and skill from God's blueprint, which is what?
The Word.
The Word. That's your blueprint. You're supposed to look like the Word. You're supposed to talk like the Word. You're supposed to behave like the Word. Okay, Lord. So, when a man is trying to lead his family, they will follow for many reasons. But when a man has built at least some foundation on the Word, it is the easiest thing for his family to follow. Women, and this is a book, and you can't steal it. I will sue you. God gave me a message called, She Holds the Key to His Heart. Every woman in this room holds the key to her man's heart. When she submits to God and she becomes the real thing, not the perfect thing, not the spiritual giant, but when she has submitted to God, she will win the heart of her God, of her husband. She will win because he knows he can trust you. He knows he can trust you. It took me forever to get to that place with my husband. And I cannot tell you the reward it was when he began to open up and he is transparent with me. We fellowship so easily. He trusts me in leadership, but it took me forever, people, forever to get there. So the man submitting to God will align your whole family. They will follow. A woman submitted to God will win the heart and the affection of your husband. Did you know, ladies, that men are affectionate? You may not know that by the way they look sometimes, but they are affectionate. They love, you know, gentleness. They love. My husband told me one day, he goes, Eva, there is no defense in a man against graciousness. When a woman is gracious, how did you say it?
I don't know.
Well, you said that. You did say that to me.
I
know you said it. Well, then why you shake your head? Oh, because I'm not?
I thought there was more to it.
No, you said that when a woman is gracious, a man has no defense for it. He responds to it. But when we're hard and pushing and demanding and you never listen to me and you don't love me and you're not even affectionate and you've closed down on me, you're holding the key. You're holding the key. Building true faith. I don't know how much time. Oh, I hope I'm seeing this right. Okay, we have 10 minutes. 10 minutes?
11.
Okay. Building true faith. We're just going to start this. We're going to start building true faith now. Amen? I'm going to walk you through the process where you get out of here and into here. Once you get into here, people, we're talking about mountain-moving faith. We're talking about there is no fear. Oh, my God. We went to Tahoe, and we confronted a hideous rainstorm. We could not see. Instead of a whiteout, it was a wet out. We could not see. No matter the windshield, I kept pushing the button because I was driving, and I kept pushing the button. It's like, come on, little windshield wipers. They were like conking out on me. It's like we were going through mountains. And because God is very, very present in my life, and he is right there, I don't have to go look for him. I don't have to work up my faith and say, oh, no, I have not been praying. God, please, can you answer me? Don't let us crash, please. No. You know what I was doing? I was laughing. Then hail came. All over the place. I enjoyed it so much. I'm like, I said, Bill, God's showing off for us. Look at how beautiful. When God is in your heart, when faith is in your heart, you are not going to be moved by anything. Amen?
Amen?
You won't be moved by anything. You'll end up enjoying. I heard this one guy yesterday, and he said, you have to get to the place where you look at adversity as a friend. Adversity is hard times. It's trouble. It's distress. He said, you need to look at adversity as a friend, because it isn't until you are being pushed against that you grow strong. So even a hard time can absolutely change your life. In 1983, when I was fighting for my life, God said, I'm not only going to bring you back, because I said, Lord, just restore my life. And he said, no, I'm not just going to bring you back. He said, you're going to take 10 steps forward when you're done. And I became an animal spiritually, completely different. You guys would not believe how I was. The one word that God gave me through that whole time, and I'm going to share it with you, which I've done many times to you, is I would tell Bill, pray and see if God, this is how much I was counting on man instead of God. I said, please pray. Maybe God will give you a prophecy, a word. Maybe he'll have you lay hands on me. And he did in the beginning, and nothing happened. Nothing changed. Bill comes in one day, so excited, and he goes, baby, sit down. I have a word for you from the Lord. And I'm so excited. I'm like, oh, I will heal your fevered brow. I will restore you because you're my child and I love you. You know what he told me? God said, take it like a man. Take it like a man. Take it like a man. The only way real faith comes to mankind is through the word. Through the word. Yes, it can come through a minister. I know all of you have your favorite ministers. I hear about it all the time. Oh, I listen to this person. The only way real faith comes is through the word. When you submerge yourself in the word. Now, if they're preaching the scriptures and you know it's the word, it'll bring faith. So then faith comes by hearing. In the Greek, it said ear, what you've heard, and what was preached. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Only the Bible, only the word is going to bring you faith. Carnal Christianity. The body of Christ is plagued with this right now. When the world and our senses still govern our lives. That's carnal Christianity. When you are still looking, like for instance, if we pray for you, it is done. It is done. There's no changing it. It's going to come to pass. But when you go and check and you find the lump and you say, oh, it didn't work. Oh, we need to pray again. Oh, maybe I need to go to a different minister to get prayer. Our senses, what you hear, what you feel, what you taste, what you see, that's a carnal Christian. Well, if they prayed for me, then why am I still feeling the pain? That's a carnal Christian. And then the world, what the world says. There's a pandemic coming, and it seems to be attacking especially the women. And you're freaking out. I'm a woman. Oh my God, it's gonna hit me first. I knew it. I just knew it. You prophet, you? You're a prophet of doom, professing your own doom. But it's when our senses tell us, you know, God has covenant with us, and he said we will never be out begging for bread or, you know, homeless or anything like that. And you look at your account, it's 0000, little chubby zeros on there. And you sit there and you go, oh my God, I prayed and nothing happened. Who said? God may be moving a mountain of finances and you just stopped him right there. You stopped him. Stay the course. Stay the course. Some of you men know how to do that. Because you chased that woman until she gave in. Oh, look at you men. You're like, not so much. Maybe not. No, you did. This man followed me all the way to Europe. I couldn't shake him. But you know how to stay the course. I got her. Oh, she's mine. She's going to be mine. I'm marrying this woman. Be like that with God. Oh, I love my God. God is everything to me. So a carnal Christian is one that is ruled by their senses. Are you going to let what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you touch? I still have that bump in my back. I'm not healed. As far as I'm concerned, that thing disintegrated the minute we prayed. Stay the course and it will leave. It will bow.
Amen.
Amen? Praise God. Spiritual Christianity, where we break away from our senses. Stop being ruled by what you see. Oh my God, I'm getting so old. Nobody's going to like me. They're going to put me in a home. Oh my God. Stop looking at what you see. You're better off not seeing. Cover your mirrors. Seriously, stop looking at what you see. I refuse to let the devil. I tell my husband, I want to look good for you, Bill. I always want you to feel honored that I'm next to you. You know, I want to represent. He tries for me too. He got a new haircut. I don't know if you noticed. But, but you know, anyway, stop looking at what you see. My kid hates me. They just ran off. They slammed the door in my face. Stop being moved by what you see. Start praying. That child loves me. Father, I thank you. You restore my child to me. Fight. Fight. Learn to fight for what's yours. What are the three things that Satan comes to do? You learned something. Why would you give him anything if you know he's going to rob you, kill you, or destroy you? Why? No, you can't have my marriage. You may not like the person at all. Dude, we've been through it all. We're very transparent. Very transparent. Like for 20 years, we weren't even like married. We were just working, working, doing everything, raising the kids, moving, moving. Bill worked. He's always carried two careers. And I was scared when Brian left. I'm being honest. And I'm like, my friend. Because he is my friend. We worked hard at it. Andrea is my friend. They grew up. They became adults, and now they're our friends. Oh, my God, we love them, and they love us so much. And what was I talking about?
Brian leaving.
Oh, yeah, Brian leaving. And I was scared. I'm like, Lord, are we going to be able to be together, Bill and I? I mean, the empty nester thing sucks. It's awful, Lord. I hate it. I want the kids back and us enjoying each other and blah, blah, blah. And I was very scared. And about 2 weeks later, this charming, charming, you should see his faces. He's like, no, don't. This charming man showed up. And he said, and I'm like, Bill, you are so loving. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I was just patient. I was just waiting.
Oh, my God.
And then he is like the most affectionate, the most loving. I don't know how many times a day we kiss. We kiss all the time. He comes looking for me. Baby, how are you doing? I'm serious. Sometimes I'm like, oh, he's coming again. No, just kidding. No, no, baby, never, never. What I mean is the first 30 minutes when I wake up, you know I need time. And he comes in so like a little stallion. Ready for the day, all full of love and affection and, you know. But I told him, I said, Bill, you know, about maybe a month after Brian left, I mean, I've seen this wonder. It's like we were dating again. And I said, Bill, I was worried when Brian left. And he goes, nah, not me. He goes, we're still us. We still love each other, just like before. It's been awesome, guys. Anyway, break away from our senses, the world. Get rid of the world in you. The world's upside down. The world is completely in opposition to God. What they call love, God calls selfishness. I'm serious, guys, it's all upside down. Get rid of the world. Start trusting God and His word. It depends on what kind of results you want. Only God can heal a marriage. I'm telling you, we have hurt each other so much. You wouldn't believe what we've done to each other. And God healed it all. Our children, oh, like any other kid, there was a time when they did not like mom and dad at all. You're always telling me what to do. And why do I have to go to church all the time? Blah, 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 blah. But guess what? The time came when they realized how much love it took for us to persist in guiding them. They are remarkable human beings because they yielded. They trusted God in us. Amen. The world and how we lived in this life before Christ. We had horrible patterns before people. The majority of what we did before Christ was all ego and selfishness. I want to travel. I want to do this. I want to have this much. And I want to have, and it was all fun, 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 and enjoy life and so on. And now we're learning a whole new way. Now, in Christ, people, you have no idea. Guys, some of you need to go away, like to Paris or to Europe. You need to get an expensive hotel, Marriott, Hilton. You need to be able to go on a yacht or whatever, whatever it is, in order to have a great time. This is going to be a great time. We're sitting there watching silly little Korean shows. We'd watch Korean dramas. Yes, we do. Yabo. Yabo means honey. He's my yabo. But we're sitting there watching silly little Korean dramas, and we feel like we're in the lap of luxury, and this couldn't get better. This could not get better. If we were in Paris, it would not be any better. It's not about where, it's about who. Amen. Who? God will make your life so rich that it just grows. It's rich, it's beautiful, it's precious. Your family will begin to function right when God is in His place. Did you know that Papa is a family man? That's why He created you. We are His sons and daughters. So He's going to fight for your family more than you ever will. Amen? Oh, okay. We're going to stop here.